I can live. This is an amazing thing, and you're going to hear it over. And most times, or most probably, Christians get sick and tired of hearing the salvation story. We need to revisit that. Salvation is the greatest miracle ever happened to the human being. The greatest miracle. That a human being that was lost, a human being that was dying in their sin, a human being that was separated from God through the fall of Adam and Eve, can be restored to fellowship through Jesus Christ and have ultimately spending the eternity with Christ, but having an entire life changed with a fantastic resurrected body awaiting them. Now, that sounds like way out of whack, but the Bible doesn't lie on this stuff. And last Sunday was amazing. Last Sunday, you guys showed up. Last Sunday, you guys hat upped. Is that good English? Hat? Sweeney? Julie? Is that good English? You hat upped. Well, you had hats on, for darn sake. Okay. So we had hats on. So everybody, even the guys, had their hats on over here. So the building was back to capacity. And we came to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ. You had pictures taken by Heather. Many of you have put your pictures on Facebook. And by the way, she's still waiting for the chocolates. But in any case, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the ultimate. We came to celebrate. Yes, of course, Friday commemorate. Sunday, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After the celebration, after the pictures, many went out for lunch, and most probably when you got home, most of you had a nap called 40 winks. And then you were getting ready for Monday. So Easter is over. Now we're waiting for the next one. But it wasn't so in the day of Jesus Christ. Sunday was only the beginning of a series of events that is going to impact and did impact the world and still impacts the world to this day. Tremendous impact it had on the world. And we're living through it now, and we're going to continue to go through it until the day of Pentecost. And we'll be ministering on those days as they come about. So Easter had come and gone. You're back to the grindstone. Life as we know it has returned to normal. Ponder, think, because we're living in this society that we're living fast. Everything's fast. But was that what happened on Sunday and Monday in Jesus' time? Everything went back to normal. No ways. No ways. There was chaos. The disciples were afraid. The Romans thought they'd kill Jesus. Now there's blame. No, they stole the body. Looking for the disciples, possibly, to take revenge on them. To the Jew, it was known as Passover. They would commemorate their freedom from slavery under the Egyptian rule. Friday, Jesus crucified. Just giving you backdrop. Turmoil in the hearts of his followers. Mary, Jesus' mother, devastated. We looked at that last week, Friday. Devastated that her son was crucified for what? For what? He was perfect. This should never have happened, according to her. Remember, and I will repeat again, what the angel mentioned to Mary when she was going to be pregnant. The angel told Mary how great he's going to be. The angel told Mary he's going to be a savior. The angel told Mary he's going to have an everlasting kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And now he's dead. What the angel said and what she's seeing now ain't tying up. She can't digest this. How's this thing working out? However, the chain of events has just started. Little did they fully understand the statement Jesus made that in 3 days, I will build this temple again. in 3 days. In 3 days' time, sorrow will be turned into joy. And I think that's an understatement. And you see, all too often, Sunday, Easter Sunday, is a coming out country and worldwide. We saw that last Sunday. Folks, certain folks would only go to church on Christmas and Sunday, Easter Sunday. So we find Easter Sunday is a coming out ritual. Not that we are against it in any way, because an opportunity is an opportunity to preach the gospel to the people, to explain to them the significance of this event. But it's a coming out ritual, a part of the celebration of the beginning of spring and its observation and observance, and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And unfortunately, Easter is mostly a pagan thing in any case. To the Jew, it's Passover. Easter eggs don't fit into anything, but yet the bunny gets more significance than Jesus Christ. And so we recognize that the depth and the value of Easter is for the majority of the people just a holiday. Not recognizing and realizing an event that changed the course in history. Amen. That changes mankind right to the end. Yes, the families dress up and show up once a year. People can show up to shock the pastor because they'll never put their foot in the church, but they come for their annual gospel shot. Been to church on Easter, all dressed up. So what does that make you? Helicopter pilot? Sorry, Bobby. But as we heard Sunday, and that was the topic last Sunday, and we shouted it out, I shouted it out, he did it! He did it! Amen. Just as he said he would do it. He did it! He rose from the dead on that third day. And shocked everybody. John 2 verse 19 to 21. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It's taken 46 years to build this temple. Yeah, well, they never had us as supervisors. That's the union's fault, that. And you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said, this temple, he meant his own body. They were on different wavelengths. The same today. Many people are on different wavelengths when it comes to Christianity. And we've got to get back to the basics. In Matthew 17, 23, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemies. He will be killed. But on the what? The third day, he will be raised from the dead, and the disciples will what? Why? Why? He told them he's going to be raised again. So why are they filled with grief? They didn't comprehend this. And many times you and I hear things that we don't comprehend it, but it takes time to unfold and to reveal. And this gospel about Jesus Christ is not just for old people waiting to die. This gospel is for all ages and every generation, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one. So what Jesus did was actually doing us a favor when he died. But we only see the death of Jesus dying, and we don't see the spiritual ramifications. We see Jesus being raised from the dead. We don't see those spiritual ramifications that he made an open show of the powers of darkness. And so he says, I will be raised, but they never got that. I think all they heard is, I'm going to die. And the disciples were filled with grief. And the beginning of a series of events started, of course, from his birth, but on Friday, when he was brutally beaten, hung on the cross, gave his life. But after the resurrection, the series of events began to happen that's going to shape the world and continues to shape the world to this day. And oftentimes we look at Easter as if that was the beginning of the sacrifice Jesus was going to make. But not knowing at times, and unbeknown to many people today, this plan was organized before the human being came into existence. This plan of Jesus Christ coming to earth was actually in motion already before earth was created. Oh, come on. What did you drink this morning? Well, let's go to 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 21. God paid a ransom. And I think, my friends, you and I have got to look at this. God paid a ransom. To do what? To save who? Old, young, everybody. Let this just sink in for a moment. God paid a ransom. That's the unfolding of an event that was pre-planned before you were even a thought. Does it blow your mind? It should. It should. God paid a ransom to save you, to deliver you, to set you free from the impossible road to heaven. Oh, all religions lead to heaven. Blah, blah, blah. There's only one way to heaven. And that's the way that God planned. Not what religious organizations want to sell to you. There's only one way to heaven. No man comes to the Father except through me, the Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one that reconciles. For the impossible road to heaven which your fathers tried to take, and the ransom he was paid. Notice, and the ransom he was paid. Who paid the ransom? What was the ransom? You see, we think in monetary terms, not the same way as the disciples couldn't understand this resurrection. So you and I think in monetary terms, but no, sir, he paid, the ransom was paid, not mere gold or silver as we very well know. But he paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Once again, you and I can't fully comprehend and understand that because we're not of the Jewish race. We don't understand the feast. We don't understand at times that cannot connect with the things that God has ordained for them to do. We Westerners are different. We live in a different way of life. But he paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. And then that terminology, once again, is different. Because the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, predating once again to what they were doing, sacrificing to God in the tabernacle. But notice the wording, sinless. How many of us are sinless? Not one of you wanted to raise your hands? None of us are sinless. How do we know that? Because God said it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So is it possible for a teenager to be sinful? Is it possible for a senior to be sinful? Absolutely. Is there anyone in the world that is sinless? No. But notice, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And that's why the lambs sacrificed to God in the Old Testament had to be without blemish, spotless. They had to be examined the same day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. That was the time the lambs were to be examined. But notice this. God chose him for this purpose. And we ask ourselves these questions because we want to understand. God chose him for this purpose. What purpose? To die. To die. God chose him to die. So would it be correct to say that Jesus was born to die? Yeah, but we can't stop there. Because he had to be raised again. Because without the resurrection, the death is meaningless. Totally meaningless. We can't separate the two. We cannot just concentrate on the death and forget the resurrection. And we can't concentrate on the resurrection and forget about the death. They go hand in hand. It's very sad that in this day and age, very few Christians go out to a service on a Good Friday evening across the world. It's sad. They've got their own agenda. The family is far more important. But what about the one that gave his life for you? So God chose him for this purpose long when? Before the world began. But you see the unfolding of it. But only recently, that was recently, 2,000 years ago, that was recently. But only recently was he brought into what? Public view. Whoa, 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 whoa. He was brought into public view. So was he real before public view? Yes. Yes, he's spirit. But he was brought into public view so we could relate and we could understand. In these last days, now we are still living in the last days, and they're getting closer and closer to the finale. Because of this, the whole unfolding of the process, the whole coming of Jesus Christ that was pre-planned before the world began, because of this, your trust can be in God. Why? Why? I don't believe there's God. It doesn't change who God is. I don't believe in the stuff about Jesus Christ. Christianity are for weaklings. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what your opinion is. God ordained it. And because of this, your trust can be in God who did what? Who raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. And then it says, now your faith, now that you put your faith in God, now that you accept Jesus Christ, your faith and hope can rest in who? In him alone. Not self-confidence, God confidence. Not work confidence, God confidence. Everything is, my entire life revolves around God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So we look at this and we say, this thing began before the world came into existence. And from the moment of his resurrection, he began to communicate with people. What? 3 days he rose. After 3 days he rose from the dead. Come on, guys. We've got to put ourselves in the Roman time. We've got to put ourselves in the disciples of that time. The ladies of that time. We've got to try and understand it. Because we just have 1.5 hours on a resurrection morning. And we think we got the whole picture. We got nothing. He began to communicate with people, and that continued from the resurrection day. He started communicating with people for the next 40 days. Everything about God is precision. It's not an afterthought. Oh, he died. What am I going to do now? I should have raised him, I suppose. Everything about God is precision, precision, precision. So for the next 40 days, 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days fasting. So we find the next 40 days, He speaks with people. He never appears to non-believers. He only appears to believers. He doesn't appear to those that mocked him. But he did appear to those that doubted him, his disciples. It's an amazing thing, this appearance of Jesus Christ. And of course, what happens on the 40th day? Come on, you know that. After 40 days, what happened? The ascension. Oh, we're going to do a nice one on the ascension. Give you a bit of a hint. He was with them, and then he started going. Slow-mo. Whoa. Not, because you see, during the 40 days, he would appear, disappear, disappear, appear. No. Ascension, slow-mo. This is the last time you're going to see me until I come again. So slow-mo, he goes up. And they keep on staring and staring. Hey, John, can you see him? Yeah, there is he over there. Peter, where's he now? Oh, he's just gone over there. He's getting smaller and smaller. See you, Lord. See you later. I don't know if they said that. I would have said that. There were at least 5 resurrection appearances of Jesus on the first day of the week, last Sunday, after he was raised from the dead. Or would it be correct, he was not raised from the dead, he rose himself from the dead. Both is right. God raised him and he raised himself. 5 appearances. Of course, who was the first one he appeared to? What do you think? Come on, put your knowledge to the test. Who was the first one he appeared to? Mary who? There were 3 Marys. Mary of Magdala, or Magdala. Oh, what's your English? But they call her Mary Magdalene of Magdala. Who was this Mary of Magdala? The very woman Jesus drove 7 demons out of her. So who did Jesus appear to first? A woman. Ladies, don't get high-headed now. To a woman. Amazing, though. The woman weren't trustworthy that day. There's an old joke today, you'll be arrested for that kind of joke. Because most people, number one, don't understand what the meaning of the first word is. But today people say, how can he make such a joke? In the olden days, if you wanted to get a message across, you'll telegraph, telephone, or tell a woman. You see what I mean? Well, that was like in Jesus' day. You're not going to believe a woman. Are you ridiculing the... No. I'm presenting the facts. He appeared to Mary of Magdala. She also supported him financially because she was from the Galilee area, Magdala on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. She was one of the witnesses of the crucifixion and burial of Jesus. And it's amazing that he appeared to her first. For whatever reason, we don't know. The other woman was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mothers, I don't know how you would feel. What would have been the last sight Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw of her son? Think about that. What was the last sight, the last view she saw of her son, her first son of Jesus? What was the sight? Hit, bloodied, beyond recognition. beyond recognition. That was the last sight she had of her son. If we use our terminology, a bloody mess. That was her sight, the last sight of her son, taken down from the cross, embalmed, put in the grave. And now 3 days later, he appears to her. Perfect. Mother, can you try and comprehend that? I can't. How do you switch your brain from this to this? How do you know it's him? The mother of Jesus, and then Joanna, the mother of James, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Salome, possibly the mother of the two boys of Zebedee, the boys of thunder, James and John. Peter, the two disciples on their way to Emmaus. And then the next Sunday they met again, the disciples, with Thomas. Because Thomas wasn't there at the first one. They told him about it and he says, no ways, I ain't going to believe this. I want to see it, man. And so many people still want to see things today. They don't want to live by faith. In John 20, 26, 27, a week later, that's where we are now. Now you see, we've forgotten about Easter already. You're back at your work. Life has gone on. Your responsibilities in your home, your responsibilities at work. You've long forgotten Easter. Not so with the disciples. A week later, today, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was there with them, of course. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Whoops. This is sci-fi stuff. This is out of our realm of natural. Well, it is out of the realm of natural because God is supernatural. And for the younger generation, most of them downstairs, and they're going to be taught those things too. But for us adults, it's amazing though, as you get older, you want more evidence, you want more evidence. You want to question, you want to investigate. Very few want to live by faith because they want to try and prove it. But don't challenge God because you come out losing. And so we find Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them. Now, once again, guys, how many times have you read the scripture? Oh, most of you, some of you go through the Bible every year. You've read the scripture. But we've got to pause again. Jesus was just crucified two Fridays ago. Resurrected last Sunday, a week down the road now. The disciples are fearful. They're meeting in secret because there's chaos in the Roman world. There's chaos with the high priest and the priestly functions of the priest. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, there's a mess going on. And then on top of it, there's rumors from last Sunday. Rumor. Within the Roman Empire, within the Jewish world, they say he's risen. Who said so? Oh, Mary Magdalene. Ha, forget her. Who else? Peter. What? Oh, no. He denied Christ in any case. Who else? Can you see what's happening? The doors are locked. And out of the blue, peace be with you. Whoa, who's this? Where did you come from? The chimney's blocked, man. Where did you come from? No. Peace with you. Don't try and challenge God because God will approach you directly. Remember what Thomas said. Remember. I don't believe it. until I put my fingers in his wounds. I'm not going to believe this. Don't tell God you don't believe. He'll take you on. And I can assure you, you'll be the loser. Then he said to Thomas, look how he isolates him. Amongst the group of the disciples, he isolates him, calls him by name. Thomas! You didn't believe, right? How many of us like to be called out? I don't like to be called out. None of us like to be called out. Firstly, what goes through my mind, if you were like me, and I'm Thomas, who squealed? Who squealed? We've got a rat in the house here. Thomas, put your finger here. Now, for those that have problems with Christ or the resurrection, there's far enough evidence of the reality and the factualness of this resurrection. So don't let the school books, don't let your college professors try and poison your mind. All they are doing is just playing a game with you. Put your finger here, see my hands. Now you can investigate, because this was like an investigation. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side. Why the side? Well, that's where the spear went in. And I love the terminology. Stop doubting and believe. And my message is today to many folks, for some of you this morning, you may have a lot of questions. Just stop doubting and believe. You're not going to work it out. The natural cannot comprehend the supernatural. Cannot. Doesn't the Word of God say His ways are higher than our ways? So why do we try and reason the supernatural out naturally? Can you do that? How can you try and figure out something that is supernatural in the natural way? That's why God says, my ways are higher than your ways. How did we ever understand that this thing was planned before the foundation of the earth? No, we work in the now time. All we know is our surroundings. But God is all-knowing and omnipresent. So does he know all things or does he know some things? He knows all things. So how much do you and I know? All things or some things? Some things and some very little things. But notice what he said. Stop doubting and believe. That hit him. And the Bible says, Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Because he lives, I live. Today, because he lives, I live. It became a realization of the disciples that Jesus arose and lived in the same visible, notice the wording, the same visible, tangible, physical body of flesh and bones. What? He has flesh and bones, but he's a spirit. So if he's got flesh and bones, how can he be alive? Because I've got flesh and bones, but what keeps me alive? The blood. But there's no blood. But he appears to them, and I want you to understand this. This is no far-fetched idea. Here's an individual, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, that says to the disciple, see my hands? And that's why, folks, we got to understand this. I did a sermon many, many years ago. The only imperfect body in heaven is Jesus Christ. And that's the terminology by imperfection, even through the scars, it's perfection. Because Jesus Christ in heaven is the only one that has got scars in his body. You and I don't. We're not going to have them. Because when he comes back, the Jews are going to recognize him by what? His scars. What? He's the Messiah. But here we find the whole thing about Jesus' body. Reach out. Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting. So you see a tangible body of flesh and bones as he possessed before the resurrection. And this had a huge impact on the disciples. It boggled their mind, but it had an impact on them. And man, were they fired up. It transformed the disciples. And after Jesus' death, his disciples, apostles, were scared. They were scattered. They were skeptical. Remember, the only one that was at the crucifixion was who? There was only one guy at the crucifixion. John. The beloved. All the other disciples hit the road. They're gone. They also, his brothers, Jesus' half-brothers, were skeptical. Mary, the first one to whom Jesus appeared, doubted, thinking she had seen a gardener. The disciples doubted the reports of the woman. Some doubted until they saw Christ for themselves. One would not even believe when all the other apostles told them Christ had appeared. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus doubted. All of a sudden, Jesus is walking with these two guys. Walking and talking. Now notice once again. Was it a ghost or was it a body? A body. All this is happening during the week, guys. Walking to Emmaus, a few miles away from Jerusalem. And Jesus is walking with them, chatting with them, like old buddies. Until they get to the house and they eat. It's him. It's him. Wow. What is the reason for all this? So that you and I can trust in God that never lies. A few weeks, these very same men and women who had huddled in secret, were fearless and open proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. Even before the Sanhedrin. That was responsible for Christ's death. What happened? What happened? These guys that cowered? These guys that were afraid? And now they're challenging? How is this transformation possible? A transformation in a human life is only possible when you believe Jesus Christ. And when you surrender your life to him, he changes you and me from the inside out. And now we can become bold because of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can account for this immediate and miraculous change, they were absolutely convinced that the appearance of Jesus Christ was in bodily form and is not a ghost. Now, you and I have not seen that. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the foundation of the Christian faith. And that's where you are here today. That's why you are here today. That's why I will proclaim this message. And please never get tired of maybe hearing me preach salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then what? All I can talk to you about, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, is there's clothes in the school and there's food downstairs. What else can I tell you? What else can I tell you? Oh, I can tell you the world's in a mess. Well, you know that. And of course, there's a big thing now about this is the last pope. I mean, there's a big theory out there on that stuff now. And if Christ has not been raised from death, then we have nothing to preach. And guess what? You've got nothing to believe. What can you believe? Well, there's nothing to believe. My life just is going to go along and I'll be dead and then that's the end of everything. Yeah, well, sure. But if we preach that Jesus is alive, oh my gosh, that changes your outlook. If there was no resurrection, what is it? Christianity is a hoax. Don't take your Christian faith lightly, please, guys. Do not take your Christian faith lightly. By Christian faith, I mean you've become a follower of Jesus, asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, accepted Christ as your Savior, and He became the Savior planned before the foundation of the world. Salvation is a big deal. If there was no resurrection, Christianity is a hoax, and we are wasting our time. But the truth is, the event of Jesus' resurrection is undeniable, absolutely 100% completely true. Somebody once wrote that Christ's resurrection from the dead is the best attested fact in human history. There's too much evidence, guys. There's too much. Don't let people bewitch your mind. Like within the Galatians, Paul said, who has bewitched your minds? Don't get influenced by professors. Don't be influenced by the books that are out there to show you that Christianity is a fake. I will protest that, and I will proclaim to you, Jesus is alive and well. The gospel is for every person, and every person needs the gospel because every person is a sinner. First, the resurrection is one of the major evidences that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans, I've got one more scripture after this. We're going to have lunch. Romans 1, 3 to 4. Once again, we emphasize the terminology, the good news. Well, we've got to define what is good news. CNN, ABC, MSNBC, Fox. What is good news? The good news is about the Son, Jesus Christ. In His earthly life, He was born into King David's family line. Once again, we don't understand that terminology because we're not into it. But if you look at the whole birth line of Christ, it was organized, orchestrated by God. Was born into King David's family line. That's why He's going to sit on the throne of David. And He was born, or shown, He was shown to be the Son of God. How was He shown to be the Son of God? When what? When He was raised from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And now if we want to get into some theology, who raised Jesus from the dead? Did God the Father raise Him? Did Jesus Himself raise Himself? Did the Holy Spirit raise Him? Who raised Him from the dead? Good question, right? They are inseparable, but yet are different. Raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus. Our what? Christ our Lord. Christ our Lord. Jesus, earthly name. Christ, His ascended name. Lord. He's our Lord. And I love this terminology because we're going to continue with this next week again and the next week maybe again just to show you the significance. Because He lives, I can live. And the series of events that have taken place for the next 40 days. And we're only speaking about the natural realm. We haven't even touched about the supernatural realm. When the devil, the enemy of Christ, wanted to maybe keep Him in the grave. But the Bible says He ascended and made an open show of the powers of darkness where they could not control or contain Him. He rose and went through enemy territory, and He made an open show in the book of Colossians of the powers of darkness. Bunch of losers. Second, Jesus' resurrection gives us an assurance. What assurance? We can have forgiveness of our sins. This is the crux. This is the climax for me. When we go to 1 Corinthians, I'm ending with this. We'll continue next week. Come on, let's read it together. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you, what's the penalty for sin? death. Separation from God. That's the penalty. So if Christ is not risen, think. If Christ is not risen, we are dead in our sins. But because he is risen, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can be reconciled to God the Father because of the price that was paid on Calvary. So you and I can truly say, as followers of Christ now, I am free, free, free. Christ has set me free. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. For our first timers, I'm not normally this loud, so don't worry about it. I'm just excited. I'm just excited. When I get excited, I get loud. Ask my wife. Oh, I've had too many folks. Quite a number. Oh, he's too excited. He gets excited about things. The one lady some time ago said, oh, I love the church, but you are so passionate. My friends, when you were dead and life came back to you, you're going to shout. You're going to rejoice. This is not a temporary joy that I've got or that you've got. It's something that is eternal. Not only is my salvation based on my life on this earth, the salvation has an impact on my life after this earth. Because now, when I see him, I will be like him. Now, instead of hearing words, depart from me, I do not know you. Because I've accepted Christ and follow him, I can hear the words, come and be with me. Amen. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm looking forward to that promise unfolding when he's going to come and take me to be with him forever and ever. Because I've put my faith and my trust in him, I look forward where the Bible says, and I will rule and reign with him throughout all eternity. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ, the words of Paul ring so clear in my mind that nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. The words of the messengers of Christ, the disciples of Christ, that says, my God shall supply all your needs because of his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. All those promises flood my mind. And when I go through trials, I can recognize and realize I'm not alone in this. He's with me because nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus. Oh, with death, with demons, with famine, sword. No. Death can't even separate me from the love of God. Even when I die, I'm just absent from this body and present with the Lord. Amen. So for you, myself this morning, because he lives, I live. Now, how do I apply that? By doing what the disciples did. Accepting the fact that he rose from the dead and recognizing that he's revealed himself in bodily form to prove that he's God. Can I deny it? No, the evidence is overwhelming. I can't deny it. So what do I do? What did Thomas do? He believed. He believed. How difficult is it to believe? All you got to get to the point in your life is, Lord, I do not have all the answers. I don't understand you. But you know what? I believe you. That's all you got to do. I believe you. And start working and walking your life believing what God has said is true, what God has done is real, and that Jesus is alive and well. That's the most important thing. You leave this place today, Jesus is alive and well. Oh, there's an old song. Let me date myself to the dinosaur age. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Oh, let's go to the Bill Gaither song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And if tomorrow doesn't come, he still lives. And I'm going to be with him. It is well with my soul, the old hymn. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Oh, what about, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that what? But if he's dead, how can you do that? You can't. You can't. But every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I conclude, that's my God. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, because he's just majestic. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you.